Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us begin in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the task is great, and the purpose is good. Grant us grace and holy power to preach Christ, teach Christ, and live Christ to this generation. Oh, how they need Christ and His forgiving and redeeming good news. Unleash the power of prayer. Unsheath the sword of the Spirit. Call us to prayer. Father, call us to prayer. Holy Spirit, call us to prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How would you feel if I'd walk down from the pulpit or walk over to the chancel choir or walk down to you and randomly choose one of you? I could use eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by his toe. Or I could use one potato, two potato, three potato. I could use any ways to choose. And would you be excited to be it? Maybe, maybe not. I have not said what it will do. Would you like to be it if I said you would be given one of the greatest and grandest privileges in all of the universe? Would you be excited and shout, "Choose me! Choose me!" As excited as a first grader? Would you be excited as chosen to be the one to choose sides for kickball? Would you be as excited as being chosen to be choose a memory from your childhood when you were just jumping up and down? Choose me. I want it. Choose me. Now, with that excitement in mind, who would like to be it right now? Or are you waiting for me to say what it would be asked to do? You're waiting for me to say what it will be asked to do. Now, I know I've been drawing this out, and it's on purpose. For it, I would choose, would be asked to lead us all in prayer. Extemporaneously, praying out loud, with your voice out loud. For many, to pray out loud in a group is terrifying. What to say? I may say something stupid. I may babble. I may stammer. I may stumble at getting words out. Shyness overtakes you, and both men and women feel inadequate up to the task. Yet I invite you to encounter the greatest privilege and the most awesome power that the body of Christ, the church, possesses, the power of praying together. As you read the history of the early church recorded in Acts, you will find the gathering of disciples praying together all of the time. Praying together when the Holy Spirit came. Praying together for Peter and John. Praying together before decisions and sending out missionaries. Over and over you read about praying together. Acts chapter 6, we find the early church growing, and the care for the widows was having a problem. The Hellenistic, that is the Greek Jewish widows, were being overlooked in the daily food distribution. And the Hebrew Jewish widows were being well cared for. The 12, meaning the apostles, called the multitude, the many of the disciples together. Instructions were given for the disciples that many to select seven among them known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. The reason given is that the apostles first and foremost were to be about the ministry of the Word of God. The distribution of daily food would be overseen by the seven, and the apostles, the 12, would give their attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Now, reading Acts chapter 6, verse 4, it is very easy to get a wrong impression, an impression of the 12 that is not accurate, especially when it says, give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. It's viewed as two things. Easily give the impression that the 12 would go off and pray in solitude in preparation for the ministry of the Word in the gathering of the disciples. While it is likely the 12 had their prayer time together and had prayer time alone, the prayer here in verse 4, Acts chapter 6, is the prayer of the multitude. The prayer, the service, the Word. The Greek, you will find a definitive article before the word prayer. The prayer. Just like you find that article before word. The Word. And the prayers of the disciples were knitted together with the Word, that ministry, that service of the Word. And the service of the Word was knitted together with the ministry of prayer. In other words, corporate worship, corporate prayer, they go hand in hand. When the disciples, that multitude, that many would gather together, they would worship and pray together as the church. The 12 would not allow the importance of being together as disciples in worship and in prayer to be neglected by the other things, even though they were important. Those seven men full of Holy Spirit and good faith, they will oversee it. The seven were chosen, and Stephen is the one whom we remember most. The seven were brought to the apostles, and the gathering of all the people, the disciples, the many, gathered together and they prayed, led by the apostles along with laying on of hands. And did you hear the result as recorded in Acts chapter 6? The Word of God spread. The number increased, including large numbers of priests became obedient to the faith. The large number of priests became one of the many disciples and followers of Jesus, their promised Messiah, the Christ. Prayer. What this means is that corporate prayer of the life of the church is as high as a priority as preaching of the Holy Word of God. Praying together as the many who are one in Christ is just as high a priority as preaching the Word. Praying together as brothers and sisters in Christ is vital to the life and health of the church of Jesus Christ. It is written in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Jesus said, come together and pray together, asking in Jesus' name. And what takes place is a life-transforming power, unified in voice, unified in heart, unified in purpose, power, unleashing great power, praying in Jesus' name. Picture this. A person singing a solo. A duet singing together. Now a quartet singing. A choral group. A small choir singing. Now 100 voices. 1,000 voices. 10,000 voices. And more. I was at a Promise Keepers men's gathering Columbus years ago. Over 15,000 men's voices singing together at times, and over 15,000 men's voices praying out loud together at times. I cannot put into words the power of that many voices united in song, united in prayer, united for the things of God. The power of voices unified, and the awareness that grips you is that you are talking to God. God the Father, in asking in the name of the Son, Jesus. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. In the Greek, this prayer, devote, is the order of the Greek words. This prayer, devote yourselves. Active, imperative. It is a command. This prayer, the community, the corporate, church prayer, this prayer, devote yourselves. Paul is commanding the church to do, and it's that to pray constantly with persevering, unrelenting prayer. The importance of prayer for the life and health of the church in Colossae, Paul was urging them, commanding them to pray. Then Paul adds, include us. That's Paul and the others with him. Include us in your corporate prayers together. Why? For God to open doors and that Paul and the others with him may preach Christ powerfully. The gospel that Paul is in chains for. Pray that Paul, though he's chained, in chains, that Paul may proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly. And he goes on to say, pray for the reality of following Jesus to come alive in each of you as the church at Colossae, so that you are always full of grace. Paul is commanding the church to pray together. Praying together. David Platt shares a story in his book, Radical, about a time he was with the underground church in Asia. Imagine yourself there in the underground church in this little place in Asia. The blinds are drawn closed on the windows. The room dimly lit. 20 leaders gathered together. No comfortable chairs to sit on. No air conditioning. None of the comforts we expect. You're there, just sitting on the floor with your Bible open in front of you. Sweat, drenched and dripping from walking many miles. Dirt from dusty roads, if you had the chance to ride a bicycle, but you started extremely early in the morning, and you're gathering in secret, arriving at different times, staggered to disguise and not draw attention to the meeting that is going to take place. You're in Asia, and it's illegal to gather like this. Caught, you would lose land. Caught, you'd lose your job. Caught, you may lose your family. Caught, very likely you lose your life. 20 of you are now gathered together, sitting on that floor with the Bibles in front and open. And you start listening to the stories, listening to the dangers the others are facing in their home churches, the secret home churches. Each of your brothers and sisters in Christ are asking for prayer. Tears on faces. And you look at each other and you understand, we need to pray. And so they bow down and you join them, and your face is to the ground and your Bible's in your lap and you're just hunched over and you're weeping, and the struggles are being expressed by your brothers and sisters. You start sharing what's happening, and to their knees with faces on ground, the prayers begin to lift, crying out to God. No grandiose theology, simple, heartfelt cries unto the Lord. Praises and pleadings mingled together. Oh God, thank you for loving us. Oh God, we need you. Jesus, we give our lives to you and for you. Jesus, we trust in you. And the prayers go on and on with voices out loud, audible weeping before God as each leader follows another in the prayer. After an hour or so, silence starts to fill the room. Rising from the floor, you see puddles of tears in a circle around the floor. And your puddle of tears glistens in the dim light too. Jesus is standing. He's weeping before the tomb of Lazarus. He instructs the stone to be rolled away. Martha reminds the Lord, there is a bad odor. Jesus turns to her and says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? The stone is rolled away. Jesus looks up and says out loud, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Then Jesus calls, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man walks out alive. Jesus prays out loud for the benefit of those around, to hear the prayer, to hear who Jesus is and the relationship Jesus has to the Father. For people to know that the bringing back to life of Lazarus was by the power of God. Earlier this year, did you see the viral video from Prattville, Alabama, of a 5-year-old praying out loud? Little Josiah saw a homeless man outside a Waffle House. He insisted his mom buy him a meal. Before this homeless man could take his first bite, Josiah insisted on praying. I want to say the blessing with him. With a loud voice, a voice as only a five-year-old can belt out, Josiah belted out the blessing. God, our Father. God, our Father, we thank you. We thank you for our many blessings. For our many blessings. Amen. Amen. Josiah did this publicly with 11 other customers watching. The homeless man with the meal in front of him, now blessed, cries. Josiah's mother cries. Everybody brought to tears by little boy praying out loud. Next week, we'll hear more about praying out loud together. Till then, keep this in mind. Praying out loud testifies that Jesus Christ is Lord of your heart and Lord of your life because others hear you praying so. Others may come to believe in Jesus by you praying out loud wherever you are. Even in a Waffle House. And you don't have to be five-year-olds to do that. This week, look for opportunities to pray out loud. Look for opportunities to pray with brothers and sisters in Christ out loud. See the power of prayer change hearts and change lives. Pray out loud together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.